This is Willie Terry for the Hustle Mohawk magazine, your Roman labor correspondent. And I have as my guest, I hope I pronounce his name right, but he'll tell me if I don't, Mugwena Malulekile.
Okay, yes, Mugwena Maluleke. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. So how you doing?
Well, I'm excited to be here in the country and this beautiful building and the union hosting me here. I'm quite excited to be here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, I heard your speech, and I do have some questions, because you talked a lot about some of the problems that's going on in the country, the infrastructure, the for-profit schools, overcrowding class, problems with inequality, unemployment, and stuff like that. What do you, in your opinion, what do you think is the root cause of all these problems, and what are some of the solutions?
The root cause of the problem has been the apartheid system, because we're dealing with the legacy of apartheid, which never government then built schools for majority of the people, in particular the African communities. So that is the root cause. It is the economic structure that the apartheid system has left that is also creating this particular problem, because the structural problem of the economy, that it is still more towards the white and not a more universal in terms of access to the resources and so forth. So that's one of the issues in terms of power relations that needs to be changing. So that is the root cause of the problem. The others are symptoms, where you have a new leadership that wanted to also exploit the situation instead of resolving the issue, but it is colonial problem. That we see in Africa, in South Africa in particular.
Really? No, so a lot of us, we was working to end that apartheid structure here, trying to get this government to come around. Mm. When we look at the news lately, they talk a lot about some corruption going on in South Africa. Now, is this coming from just, let's say, businesses in the country, or is it coming from the people that were elected to represent the people?
I can say it comes from both, because business will then be corrupting those that are elected in government in terms of favorable supply chain and therefore paying the elected officials to favor the established business. And that is what in the country we're dealing with, the capture of the state by business. And that is another problem. So corruption to end is not to only deal with the politician, but also deal with corporation. The corporate world is corrupt.
Yeah. So when they liberated the country, when the country became liberated, free, were there some agreements made with other countries or multinational corporations so that the apartheid system, some of the things that went on in the apartheid system could still exist, some of the corporations could still do that, the people could still own their land. Mm-hmm. Is that a problem?
That is a constitutional problem that we are facing in the country, because there were so-called sunset clauses that was to guarantee that those who have the wealth will remain with the wealth. And those scientist clauses also guaranteed that at the beginning of this freedom and democracy in 1994, the Minister of Finance will remain a white Minister of Finance. Okay, so that to guard that particular wealth that they have accumulated over years, ill-gotten for that matter, and then it will continue to be in the hands. So it has been a constitutionalized issue. The issue of land, that the majority of the people, 87% of the country, of the majority black, don't have land in their own country, is constitutionalized. And therefore, for now, you need to go and deal with the constitution in terms of Section 25 of the constitution, and say, how do you ensure that the majority of the people also have access to land, because land is wealth. Land, it's about humanity, it's about dignity. Without that, you are going to have this resentment, you're going to have this hopelessness, and so forth. So that is constitutional problem, that when the constitution was finalized, it had favored those who have got the resources. Thirdly, it's constitutionalized that you have a reserve bank that will be owned privately. It has got shareholders. And the Reserve Bank in any country has got to be run by government to ensure that it improves the economy, growth, and then it are able to help government in terms of infrastructural investment and so forth. But our bank is not owned. The South African government can't even have a government bank because the Reserve Bank can't even license the government bank. Today, 25 years, we still have a bank that is called Post Bank, which does not have the same rights as the other five big banks that are there because of the problem of the Constitution in the manner in which it has made sure that the wealth remains with the few.
Do you think they're trying to institute a neo-colonial system there in South Africa, like Krumah talked about?
Yes, neo-colonialism is there in the country. Once the Constitution is a beautiful country, Constitution, but with those sunset clauses there that had locked the economy into the hands of the few, then you continue with neo-colonialism, basically. In essence, that is the power relations that must be changed.
Right. What about the U.S. foreign policy towards South Africa now? Has that effect on the country?
Well, the U.S. is still a very important player in politics in the world, given the economy and so forth. And South Africa has got bilateral agreements with that. And clearly it is that, as far as we're concerned from trade union, but the administration of the United States is in favor of the current status quo, that we must not have the land back. We have heard what Trump has said when the government took a decision to appropriate land without compensation, because for a period of 23 years, the willing buyer, willing seller principle was not working, because those who have got the land were not willing to share the land with those who don't have. And then he was saying he's watching South Africa. So clearly it is that we'll go the route of Zimbabwe if you appropriate land for the in favor of economic growth, in favor of a social cohesion in a country where you have people really respecting each other, because having no land is as good as not having a dignity. Having no land is as good as having no equality, and so forth. So yes, the United States administration can play a better role than to encourage the status quo where you have got inequality in our country.
And the other question I do want to raise is, what about African Americans from this country who really said they support the South African government? Are we doing anything here that might be helpful or could be helpful?
Yeah, we're beginning to interact with the trade union movement, beginning to interact with the communities in the United States in terms of the black and Afro-American. Mm-hmm. We can do much better. We can do more in ensuring that, one, we can start talking about the skills transfer, how we can help each other in terms of the skills, how can we mobilize the society again, like we did during apartheid, to then say, no, the government has now detoured. It is off the rail. It has got to go back to the rail. And we must not keep quiet. We must be able to be clear about this particular thing without buying any other face. We call the president of the country of South Africa into here like you used to do in the past, where you say, please come and address what are you doing about poverty in your country? What are you doing about employment in your country? How can we assist? And so forth. So he need to come, because we are one, and therefore we can help each other. So we see a huge potential from our own brothers and sisters in the United States in helping us to drive our trajectory of transformation, of building a strong developmental state.
Now, there was one question I wanted to ask. What is a typical day of a student in a classroom, like the curriculum? They're going to school. What would be the typical day or the curriculum that they go through?
Well, the curriculum that they go through on a typical day would be more of the academic work that they are doing. In majority of the schools, there's no art, there's no sports, so it will be just a pure academic instruction. That is a typical day of a student. But if you go to more affluent areas, they will have a school that has got, you know, recreational facilities. There's a school that will go for tours. Will be a school that will be taking the learners to learn outside there. But a typical day in South Africa will be being in the classroom,
Let me clarify what I'm really trying to say is that I know that, you know, the South African system, when their freedom struggle came, that there had to be like a real change into the core structure of their system.
Yeah,
like the books have to be thrown out, the history had to be rewritten. That's question. I'm saying, with all
okay.
that going on.
Oh, okay. Look, yes, the curriculum has changed. So a typical day of a learner in South Africa would be that you have got a new curriculum, which is more resource intensive. You have got new books, but those particular books have not taken into account an indigenous science, an indigenous language, and indigenous cultures that are there. So you are calling for history. We are calling for some of the subjects or learning areas to be changed so that they reflect the real demographic of South Africa, a country that has got all people equal and so forth. So that's why we have a minister who said, yes, they will support that the history be rewritten so that it's able to reflect the struggles that the people have waged there, but also is able to reflect the structural and the stubborn legacy of colonialism and apartheid. So the real day, a typical day of a student is that you are still in an education system that is decorated by the features of apartheid based on power relations, because it is still based on the power of money that is in the hands of the white.
Just one last question. If you could say something to the American public about the problems or things going on in South Africa, what would you want to tell us?
What I would say to our brothers and sisters in the United States is that, look, we have the potential, we have the will to change the situation in our country. We need to be working together. We need to have each other cooperating and collaborating in the form of international solidarity that we have had when we were fighting against apartheid. So we need to fight the new enemy. And the new enemy now is inequality. The new enemy is the stubborn realities of apartheid. We thought in 20 years we could deal with that, but we can't. So we are saying to the public in America, please help us to be able to help the world to be a better world to live in. And we can do that if we are able to collaborate.
All right. Thank you. There you have it.
Gwena Maluleke. Thank you so much.